And this is KTLO. I'm Yvonne Kremery. Thank you for tuning in. Alaska nonprofits face immense uncertainty due to the Trump administration's pause on federal grants and loans. That's the message state lawmakers heard during a House Judiciary meeting on Monday. Lori Wolf is executive director of the 4-Acre Group, a state nonprofit association that advocates for the sector. She says nonprofits in the state receive about $1.2 billion from the federal government yearly, and that funding impacts every Alaskan.
Every Alaskan is a nonprofit beneficiary because nonprofits are woven into the fabric of our communities.
Wolf says if taken as its own job sector, nonprofits would be the second largest in the state, behind resource extraction and ahead of fishing. She says services provided by the roughly 35,000 nonprofit employees in Alaska range widely, from medical care and housing to fire safety and child care. In the weeks since the Trump administration's partial freeze of federal funds, Wolf says 4-Acre heard concerns from over 150 nonprofits across the state. She says nonprofits reported that they rely on the federal government for anywhere from 22% to 100% of their funding.
At 10 to 40% of the workforce across Alaska, this would upend entire local economies. Private philanthropy in Alaska also cannot make up for the difference in the loss of government investment. They are a leveraging tool, not a sole source option.
Committee Chair Andrew Gray, a Democratic representative from Anchorage, says lawmakers expect to hear from state agencies about potential impacts from the federal funding freeze at a future date. The city and borough of Juneau will move forward with a controversial plan to mitigate glacial outburst floods in the Mendenhall Valley. It comes with significant costs for residents in flood-prone neighborhoods. Though many homeowners support the plan, KTLO's Clarice Larson reports that its approval came with some pushback, too.
Sam Hatch retrofitted his home on Meander Way after floodwaters filled his crawl space and saturated the land beneath it in 2023. At Monday's Juneau Assembly meeting, he testified that the city should bear the cost of flood prevention, not residents like him, who have already spent thousands on recovery.
My savings, retirement, and investments are all gone. I have three mortgages. My wife and I both work full-time jobs, and you still want more. Shouldn't the city shoulder the burden like avalanche protection, like firefighting, or police? The city has decided emergency services are transactional. Good people don't charge to save others.
Last August's annual glacial outburst flood damaged more than 300 homes in the Mendenhall Valley. The year before that, it destroyed homes and displaced nearly two dozen households. Following the destruction, homeowners called on the city to take action to protect residents before the next flood. Last year, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers recommended a roughly two-mile-long HESCO barrier levee as a temporary measure to protect homes until a more permanent solution can be found. City leaders have maintained it's the best idea they have before the next flood. Monday, the Juneau Assembly unanimously approved a funding scheme to install the barriers along the river. To pay for it, they created a local improvement district to split the project's cost among nearly 500 flood-prone homes. The move now allows the city to collect a payment of roughly $6,300 over the next decade from households that are at risk of flooding during future glacial outbursts. A handful of homeowners will pay $50,000 over the next 30 years. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith calls it an imperfect solution.
We're all striving for a longer-term solution, but unfortunately that is just going to take more time than any of us want. But that is the situation that we face. So I think it's the best we can do in the time that we had before the next flood season.
The first phase of barrier installation will cost nearly $8 million. Homeowners in the newly created district will shoulder 40% of that cost, while Juneau taxpayers will pay for the rest of it. Of the 466 properties in the proposed district, 117 formally objected to the plan. At the meeting, residents testified both in favor and against it. While some felt comforted by the barrier's protection, others objected for reasons like the additional cost burden on homeowners and concerns about the barrier's failing. Debbie Penrose Fisher, president of Juneau Flood Solution Advocates, says she remains unconvinced that the plan will actually protect homeowners and advocated for a longer-term plan.
Sadly, this ordinance has tried to divide our flood community, and I will do my best to turn that around. There are no winners or losers in this ordinance. We all lose.
But Michelle Hale, a former assembly member and a Valley resident, said there's simply no time to wait for something better to come along.
I believe that the HESCO barriers are the best solution we have right now, and we need to act right now. Those raging waters are going to be here before we know it, and we don't have a choice of not acting.
City officials say site preparation and installation of the barriers will begin hastily once the local improvement district goes into effect in March. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And members of Juneau's chapter of the International Association of Firefighters Union spoke out again about the lack of competitive wages leading to staffing shortages in Juneau. That means firefighters are working mandatory overtime for pay that a recent study deemed not competitive. As contract negotiations with the city began, first responders are asking the city for relief. Dylan Hay testified at Monday's Juneau Assembly meeting that after 5 years of firefighting in Juneau, the low wages have made the heavy workload unsustainable for him and his young family. So he's moving to take a new job out of state.
Not only has our call volume stretched us beyond a reasonable capacity, I've been on scene of multiple incidents where there was vastly inadequate staffing or volunteer response. This leaves on-duty crews to shoulder a burden we are simply not adequately staffed to carry, and quite frankly, we are all tired.
The majority of Juneau's firefighters and EMTs are union members. Logan Ballstead is the chapter president. He said that none of the responses to the 18 structure fires in Juneau last year met the National Fire Protection Association standard for minimum number of staff responding.
It is clear that our department struggles to assist the community on many small emergencies, let alone any of moderate to severe impact to the public.
Ballstead said there simply aren't enough firefighters to respond to emergencies. The department has been relying on mandatory overtime to staff response teams. According to Juneau's IAFF chapter, Capital City Fire Rescue is down 7 positions, and 20 emergency responders have resigned in the last few years. And Ballstead said the staffing issues are likely to get worse. Multiple firefighters are planning to retire, resign, or take a leave of absence to serve in the military. But recent attempts to fill those positions haven't been fruitful.
In the past couple of years, we have had 7 firefighter recruitment cycles where we had at best 1 successful applicant. In others, 14 job offers have been extended, yet none have were accepted.
According to a wage study released in December, starting salaries can be as low as $20 an hour for EMT positions in Juneau. That's several dollars below the median for other Pacific Northwest communities. The study says about 3/4 of starting jobs firefighters apply to in the region would likely have higher salaries than Juneau. The union and the city will begin contract negotiations this week, which they do every 3 years. This year, union members like Ballstead say they hope it means Juneau will be able to offer salaries that attract more firefighters and keep current ones around. Rachel Kelly is a family member of a firefighter in Juneau. She says she's concerned about long-term impacts of the staffing shortages.
We're not putting more energy and effort into staffing that service. And so it's the same people who are just doing more. And at some point, that's going to break. You know, to have so many fires back to back like we have the last few months, and to have the response numbers on those fires be so low, it should be a really obvious red flag.
And she's worried this is further burdening responders who shoulder the physical and emotional load of Juneau's emergencies. Contract negotiations began on Friday and will be finalized this summer. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And lawmakers are pushing Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to release drafts of a statewide salary study submitted by a human resources consultant. The calls to release the drafts come as the state faces an ongoing worker shortage. As of the end of last year, there were some 2,900 unfilled positions across state government, according to internal records obtained by Alaska Public Media. The shortage has persisted for years. In 2023, lawmakers appropriated $1 million to fund the study comparing the state's salaries to those in the private sector and in other states. That study was originally due at the end of last June. But at a State Affairs Committee meeting last week, Department of Administration Commissioner Paula Varana told lawmakers the administration wasn't satisfied with what they received over the summer.
After receiving some early drafts of the report, it was noted that significant and relevant factors had changed since the study began.
She says those significant and relevant factors include a bill raising salaries for exempt employees and some routine collective bargaining. She says the final report is now expected March 31st. But that's well into the legislative session, and lawmakers in both bodies say filling state vacancies and retaining state workers are top priorities for the session. State Affairs Committee Chair Representative Ashley Carrick, a Fairbanks Democrat, says the draft reports would be helpful.
There's a lot of concern about why we don't, as a legislature, have the draft reports, especially as the funders of this information. And I know personally I'd really like to see a draft, and I'd like to, if not, know exactly why that's not information that the legislature has access to.
The governor's office and the Department of Administration jointly denied a public records request from Alaska Public Media asking for the draft reports. Some Republicans say they understand the Dunleavy administration's decision to keep the drafts under wraps. Representative Kevin McCabe, a Big Lake Republican, said during the hearing that releasing an incomplete report could put the state at a disadvantage as lawmakers assemble the state budget.
I totally understand that releasing bad data would be worse than no data at this point. I mean, bad data could seriously harm us in our budget discussion and everything else.
He says it's important for lawmakers to see the full picture. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 28 degrees and clear this afternoon. The sun is just about going down now. We're getting 8.5 hours of daylight these days. Tonight, the low is about 23 degrees, and tomorrow and Thursday look like much of the same, with clear skies and temperatures between the low 20s and about 30 degrees. Friday night, we may see some snow, but the rest of the weekend looks clear as of now. This is KTOO.